Welcome, everybody, today from our remote studio outside of Paris. I have the great pleasure to welcome Christian Mold. He is a management board member of ERGO Insurance in Germany. And this interview is part of our business role model series. Because of or as a result of the crisis, many global leaders have changed their approaches to dealing with their staff, their organization, and the global context in general. And we believe that we are all personally responsible to become more ethical than the society we grew up in. As you know, good news is not necessarily promoted in the media nowadays. So we'd like to give great examples with our interview partners and learn from these examples. So, Christian, great pleasure to have you with us today. What have you experienced this year? What are the great examples from your organization, from yourself, your staff, your team? What were your challenges over the last 12 months, but also maybe the great opportunities and the special moments that developed out of that?
Rina, thanks for the invitation. Well, actually, the last 12 months were more or less a roller coaster, like probably most of us. I was really positively surprised how quick we all moved into home office during the first lockdown last year. We basically shifted almost 90% of our workforce to home office within less than a week. And that was a great stress to our infrastructure and also a great stress to our management teams because most teams were actually used to home office, however, perhaps a day a week or so, no more than that. And so moving the whole organization to home office was a huge challenge. And also, a huge positive surprise because it all worked out very well. And I'd say over the last 12 months, we've been working now remotely from home. Most of our staff members haven't seen the office for a year now. And operational business is running really well. On the other hand side, real big challenges for our management teams and for the projects, particularly in an agile setup, very challenging to move forward with the same speed, with the same intensiveness. And that was a great learning curve, how to manage remote teams, how to manage the projects and then remotely, and how to work together in an agile environment remotely. So that's perhaps my summary in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So what did you do? I mean, I assume you realized that early on when, you know, people were just not being together anymore, and then you had to coordinate and how did you maybe, you know, how did you delegate? How did you organize this in order to kind of keep up with the speed as best as possible?
I think one of the simplest things we had to learn was that we needed to teach our management teams, but also all team members, how to use Teams, how to manage virtual meetings, how to do your daily stand-ups virtually. And that was a great help of our HR teams that we had learning sessions, how to use the technology. And that was really helpful. And I learned very devoutly during the first phase that the basics you have to take care of. It's not the real advanced stuff. You just need to make sure that things work properly, that communication is running. So we started from management. We started a series of communication. I wrote a weekly email to all my team members, actually also just explaining how I feel, what's on my desk, what my challenges were, so that you keep the family spirit alive during this type of crisis. And then we had a lot of virtual coffee talks and other formats just to keep in touch with the teams, with the management, to learn what the challenges were, to learn what they have to deal with so that we can fastly look for a solution. Because what's really lacking even until today is the informal formats. Now, well, you're in office, I mean, you walk around, you talk with a couple of people and you get a feeling for what's going on and what the challenges are remotely. That's much, much more difficult. So we worked a lot on formats during the first phase of the crisis and training, and that worked out really well.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that, I mean, obviously, I think there has been more communication than previously, and it has become more personal. Is that correct?
Actually, yes. The feedback my teams gave me was, well, even though they have now their remote teams meetings, they feel that they have more personal interaction with their team leaders than before, because in the large office spaces, I mean, difficult to have a private talk, and actually also the managers not really focusing on getting in touch with their teams pretty often, but more focusing on managing projects, sitting in meetings, and so on and so on. And so I think much more consciously, we all kept in touch with our team members. And that's something we definitely learn for the future, that we need to have a much closer interaction and also give personal discussions some room. And that's really helping to keep the spirit alive.
Mm. And you mentioned you have developed some informal formats, so a kind of flexibility within the setting that we have to work with right now. Can you give some example of those informal formats that you?
Yeah, I mean, besides the coffee talks, I offer office hours where any team member can just ask for an appointment and then we talk. And that's something I offered sporadically in the past as well. But now this is part of my monthly diary that I offer those office hours. And actually quite a lot of team members are using it nowadays. And quite a number of them just coming and saying, oh, let's talk. I just want to use the opportunity to talk with the board member and see how you're doing. And then you get into interaction. So this is kind of the informal formats. Then what we've also done using the Teams or other platforms, we have ON24 nowadays, where we really held high quality meetings with our team members in a much more frequent way than we've done in the past to actually disperse information and to get feedback. Mm-hmm. And we also learned that there is not the one format that's working out. You need to give the leaders flexibility, and different leaders up to their style use different formats, and that made it very lively and effective.
Okay, that would be actually my next question. Do you think that your style of working and interaction with the teams, and has that become more effective or not? Or is it depends on the project, or how do you perceive that in relation to the results and the timeline?
I think in the first part of the crisis, it was definitely much more intense because we focused also from management side a lot more on these meetings, because you needed to get a feeling how the organization is running, because we needed to assure that the operational efficiency and effectiveness is not hampered. And so I'd say definitely during the first phase of the crisis till about autumn, we have intensified communication. Then I think in the second phase, late summer, autumn, we kind of felt we can go back to a certain way to normal working style with the projects, with the management interaction. But then I think relatively fast, even before Christmas, we realized that's not working. I mean, we have to have a blend of project work and more intensive caring for the daily business to make sure that we don't lose the effectiveness. And that's the challenge till today. So yes, some projects are somewhat suffering, to be very honest, particularly the large complex ones that really depend on personal interaction. But on the other hand side, the smaller ones, daily business is running really well. And we also learned to use more smaller projects because during that phase, they are more successful and they're also helping to move the organization forward.
So you also kind of reorganized the structure of projects a little bit and broke it down into smaller units or?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. And that's really fascinating to learn about your journey and how you organized over the course of the year. Can you talk a little bit about the outside perspective? So the interaction with clients and partners and collaborators, was that going smoothly together with your internal process, or what were the challenges on that end?
The formal meetings with external parties, they are virtual meetings now and they work really well. That's no problem. I mean, even interacting with consultants, with IT partners and so on, with healthcare providers. I think the day-to-day business works really well. What's definitely suffering is kind of the informal chats, the informal discussions, because what we realize internally as well as externally, the meetings have become more effective and more efficient, and time has become even more difficult to arrange for informal chats.
Okay, because the calendar is so packed with
yes
with the formal get together.
Yes. Yeah, and I think also because what I said early on, because you have to focus a lot more on the day-to-day business. I mean, that's eating up time that's not available then for the external parties. At least for my side, because I'm running operations, so mm-hmm. I need to have quite an internal focus right now.
I think it's really fascinating considering this idea of, you know, technology making our life easier. And of course, you know, if you're in high-end management positions, you would think that technology would also, of course, take some work off your back. But at the same time, it seems to me that during this crisis, the technology has kind of increased the pressure on management and has also, you know, the whole day of virtual meetings seems to be much more exhausting than in-person get-togethers. How do you deal with it personally? It's such an intense style, and we probably have to go on with that for quite a while. Do you have a secret?
I'd wish I'd have, but you're stressing a very important point, because we just had our Mitarbeiterbefragung, how do you call that? Staff employee survey. And result was actually very high satisfaction of the staff members and the teams, and very good results. However, the leaders gave a very, very clear feedback that their work-life balance is not working well. And they are basically
burned out.
A danger of being overstretched. And so Definitely, that's a challenge, and I have to admit, because you're just touching upon it. Also, for me personally, when I moved into home office and I was on video conferences and calls all day long, I have to admit, I was really, really tired in the evenings. So I learned that I need to break up my days and also rearrange my schedule somewhat. Because I'm not able to have 12 hours video conferences and phone calls. So you need to have certain breaks where you do your own work, and you need to have different styles of meetings, and then it's actually working quite well. And I have to admit, I'm also voluntarily moving back into office part-time, so I'm spending my time between office and home, and that gives me more freedom and more flexibility, and that's quite helpful.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of vetoed full Zoom calendar and kind of, you know, kept times open for other things.
Yes.
Yeah.
After the first couple of months, when I realized I didn't even have a lunch break for a couple of minutes, I said, I need to change something.
Yeah. How did you, I mean, what did you tell your leaders, as you say, those who seem to be at risk for losing maybe control or not being satisfied because they are maybe not in the position to do what you do, and you know, they also maybe feel they can't really cancel a certain meeting, and they feel responsible for their team, and so they kind of bring themselves in this situation of increasing pressure. Did you talk with them about it, or did you advise them to kind of leave breaks, or how did you react to those results that you got from the staff employee survey?
Actually, we started out with offering trainings, resilience trainings. That worked really well, and also because we as leaders have to be role models. I mean, I started discussing this issue very freely with my leaders, starting with myself, what I changed, and I also told them, you need to be more rigid in managing your calendar, and you need to really free up yourself to have time for your teams, also time for yourself. And you're yourself responsible in making a change. And if I receive emails late in the evening, from some team members, I fully accept this because I know they take care of their families during the day and they have their break during the day and they work at night. But if I have team members where I know they work full day and even nights, they get a clear feedback that they need to get a break. Mm-hmm. And I think that feedback helped them. And I have the impression that they are now a bit more relaxed, but it's still a journey to go on.
Mm-hmm. So talking about that journey, what's up next? Looking into the future, the next 6 months, how do you prepare your organization, your team for whatever comes next? Probably a mixed format, partly back in office, partly at home. What's your approach?
That's exactly the approach. I mean, in terms of working style, I have to admit that we've been quite a traditional organization. Like I said before, we had a day home office a week on average. Now we're moving to a hybrid model, half office. And that means we need to change our infrastructure. We need to change our office setup. And we need to give our managers training to manage this in a virtual world, because if particularly in operational business, where you have your call centers, where you have your set office hours of availability for your business partners, for your clients, for sales agents, that needs to be well structured, well organized, and preparing this journey and starting with the implementation during the second half of this year That's one of the key priorities we have. And the second is improving on the virtual agile setups. That's introducing additional virtual collaboration tools, training our team members that they collaborate in a blended way, some team members in the office, others then remotely, by abiding all the hygienic rules we have. That's where I really see the challenges. I mean, operational business, agile transformation, moving both forward over the next couple of weeks and months.
Okay. And do you have any examples? Is there any kind of technology that you're looking at to make this happen, to maintain and achieve and establish an agile organization? Is there anything?
Well, we actually have the collaboration tools, but they were mostly used on the IT side within the IT teams. Mm-hmm. Now we're actually expanding the infrastructure and giving those tools also to the business people and training them and kind of having a wider spread use of the technology. And very honestly, I also realized I need to get myself training because I know how to use Teams. I know how to use Jira and other instruments, but I'm not really an advanced user in many respect. And so we all need to learn, and I start with myself.
That's a great attitude, Christian. Thank you so much. And do you have one or two final thoughts or advice to those who are still experimenting with this and maybe are not as far advanced as you are with your teams? Do you have any advice to give?
Well, let them empower your teams. Let them do their work. And I think that's very important during this phase of the crisis. And learn fast, fail fast. If you empower your teams and you learn fast, you fail fast, then I think you're moving a great step forward.
Thank you so much, Christian. And with that, I'd like to wish everybody a beautiful day. And we're looking forward to the next in our series of business role models. Really exciting to have the best people here giving us their insight knowledge and their advice. So thank you very much.